Resilience is the ability to bounce back from difficult life events, and we've all had our fair share this year, some major detours, but we're ready to get back on track. But how can you start a journey to the future if you're not even sure you've found the starting point? Join us for a special More Than a Chair podcast series on the roadmap to resilience, helping employees return to the workplace safely and confidently. Welcome to the More Than a Chair podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Clark, and this is our special series on the road to resilience, mapping a plan to get us back to work. Now, today we're tackling our step two, rerouting directions. Sometimes we have to take an alternate route to get to where we're going. And we know that our team of designers are ready to map a plan, evaluating space, and ensuring that teams can get back to work in a safe environment. We have some really great guests with us today, and I'm excited because they've both been very boots on the ground, helping clients throughout this kind of crazy time. First off, I want to introduce Business Furniture and Corio interior designer Heidi Delacamp. And also we have Steelcase Business Development Manager Whitney Fuchs. Hello, ladies. Thanks for being here today.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Whitney, I want to start with you because we've had some of these conversations. A lot of this has been sparked and happening because of COVID, but really the conversations you're having are much bigger than that. They're about resilience and planning for the future of workplaces for whatever may come next. Tell me about some of the conversations you're having.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think probably all people would agree that this has probably been like the largest experiment in the world of work in the workplace. So, you know, planning for infection control was never a consideration when we sat down with clients to design their spaces. And what it's made us realize is that we never really thought about, you know, how do we design workplaces to adapt to any disruption? So, you know, maybe it won't be infection control, but it could be some other type of drastic disruption in the future. So we're starting to look at plans with clients and think about, okay, how do we build a safe and compelling workplace that will adapt to whatever the future may hold?
Heidi, tell me, I know you've been having these conversations with clients. How are you coaching them through this as they are planning for hundreds of people to try and return to work to make them feel safe and then also keep a space that isn't ugly?
Yeah. So it's very much kind of a collaboration between a lot of their facility managers, their upper management, and really kind of understanding where they're at in the journey. I think that's the most important part is, you know, a lot of my clients are in different parts of the journey. Some very, very large companies are kind of risk averse. And so they're taking their time bringing individuals back, while some of them have started bringing them back in phases. And it is, it's a challenge to make sure the space still works the way that the design intent was. And so that could be reconfiguring the space so that it's socially distanced, but still functional, you know, removing some additional collaboration spaces or rethinking some of the, you know, conference rooms or smaller spaces. In addition, like working with them on like how they could bring people back in, phasing them, you know, creating plans more of like an A-B system or checkerboard, if you will, and their seating arrangements, creating flow within the space. And I think that's been essential is understanding kind of aisleways and then just the flow, the natural flow around the building. So it's really been interesting because it's been a wide range of how people are tackling this because, you know, as Whitney said earlier, I mean, this is the first time we've ever had to deal with something like this. So we're all just kind of working towards figuring out that works best for them.
Yeah, for sure. It is. It's been just so shocking for so many people. And I know, Whitney, we've talked a lot about extreme work from home strategies and the conversations that CEOs and C-suite leaders are having right now with their company saying, okay, can we work all from home? Is it a good idea? What is kind of the perspective of Steelcase right now? And how are you starting those conversations? Because I know, I think we all feel kind of the same about this. And I know from working from home, I'm sick of it. So what are the conversations Steelcase is having?
Yeah, I love that you asked this question because it's something we're really passionate about. I think, you know, originally there was almost like a honeymoon phase that people had once they sent employees home to work temporarily. And it was, you know, wow, this is actually working pretty well. But what we're seeing long term is that, 88 to 90% of people are saying that they want to come back to work. And I think there's a couple of misconceptions that maybe people have about extreme work from home strategies. One is that, it costs less because they're cutting real estate costs, but there's definitely hidden costs to consider. One of the most important things being the loss of social capital. We know that, people who are not around each other are more likely to leave an organization. So that, human cost is probably the most expensive thing to an organization. So thinking about, okay, long term, if you're more likely to lose people, that means then you have to recruit new ones and onboard them, which have significant costs. A couple of other things are, people have this idea of, they're more productive working from home. But we know that when you actually take a deeper look, that individual work is up, but collaboration between teammates is actually down. And we know that that collaboration is what really drives innovation within organizations. So that's something to take like a deeper look at. And the last is this notion that, people have better work-life balance with these, extreme work from home policies. And what we're actually seeing is that, the lines between people's personal lives and their work lives are blurring to the point where people are working like 3 extra hours per day, just because it's hard to keep that separation. And also something that I think is important to consider is that, virtual meetings are exhausting. The, yes. The amount of energy it takes to read social cues when you're on a video call versus in person definitely takes a toll over the course of a day.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel like that firsthand. I know you guys too. I'm exhausted all day from it. And I feel like my brain isn't getting all the good juices and energy it needs. Heidi, I had a great conversation a couple weeks ago with an architect talking about some of those quick decisions people were making with popping screens up, and they almost look like shower curtains between people, and walking in, and him, he was like, it looked like a hockey rink. It didn't look like a place where collaboration and a nice environment where you'd want to come to work every day. How are you handling those conversations with people that just want to hurry up and pop up screens and those shower curtain separators? And what are those conversations like, and how are you helping them not do that?
Yeah. So this, another interesting, piece of the pie is some of these have a knee jerk reaction to the situation. Oh my gosh, we have to, safety is of the, probably the highest priority of any organization, as they think about bringing people back. And so, automatically, oh my gosh, we need these walls so tall, and we need them, plexiglass, and just kind of throwing things up. And it's really taking a strategy and saying, who are you bringing back? When are they coming back? Can we not do something that is a little bit more flexible? So then, after this process, after COVID hopefully, lifts, you can go back to really what your space is designed for. So it's, there's a lot of conversations about what is this going to look like in the space? How flexible can we make this so that it's not a permanent solution? I think that's the biggest one, is trying to coach them through that this too shall pass. And you'll go back to, kind of the work environment that you had previous to that. But to Whitney's point, I mean, I think the biggest thing I'm starting to hear, is that collaboration piece. And when you structure a space and it's just completely blocked off from each individual, you're still losing that within the workspace as well. So, task-oriented items are easy to get done at home, but you're really missing out on, whether it be the water cooler discussion and you're like, oh my gosh, I just had this great idea, mm-hmm. or you're kind of huddled up. Those are the big key pieces that are missing from really the innovation of, organizations. And I think that, as Whitney said, the honeymoon phase, it was great. Oh my gosh, we're saving on the commute. We're saving on, all of these things. But in the end, it's the intangible piece that you're really starting to miss out on, because I know I'm going back into our office quite frequently, just because I'm not working from home does not, I don't do well with that. No. And I know the amount of information of the people that are there, how quickly it is now to get that information versus like, I would have to call and then wait, are you busy? And yeah. Everybody was on Zoom meetings. So like the value is just so obvious to me of that collaboration piece.
Yeah. For sure. Whitney, what do you think? I mean, is it possible to to do this right now, to create these personal boundaries and allow for social distancing, to create spaces where people feel safe, but not sacrifice the design part of it. I know you and Heidi are both very passionate about design and making sure that that cohesive piece is there in a workplace. Is it possible to do both?
Yeah, I think that's something, you know, we are still probably going to continue to talk to clients in terms of a now, near, and far effort. So, you know, the steps they may be taking right now may look very different from, you know, a year from now. And some of the guiding principles that we're using to think about, like, what does it mean to design a safe and compelling workplace? One thing that we're exploring is, you know, specifically around team spaces. So making sure that every collaboration space is high performing. So in the past, there's typically been two types, like you have your conference rooms and maybe your cafe or social spaces. And I think in the future, we're really intentionally thinking about no matter whether it's open or enclosed, they need a range of posture, access to power, ability to control privacy, and tools for idea generation. So the idea being that, you know, you can get individual work done at home, but when people come into the office to be with one another, making sure that they have opportunities and have all the tools they need to do that. And then making sure that we're more intentionally merging the digital and the physical. So what I mean by that is recognizing that in the future, we probably, most people are going to have some sort of hybrid model, meaning that, you know, they may work in the office 3 days a week to have that collaboration time and maybe 2 days a week from home. So the ecosystem of spaces that we're using is expanding by the home office. And so when they do come into the office, we need to recognize that teammates they may be connecting with may be physically in a different location. So they may be, you know, videoing into the meeting. So mm-hmm. in those spaces, having large scale collaboration devices to connect them in a seamless and personal way.
Oh, yes. I love that. That's so true. And that's what I was going to ask is how do you start to incorporate the folks that are going to maybe stay working from home, maybe intentionally, maybe for safety reasons. And then the employees that are coming back to the office, what are you seeing, Heidi?
I think you're starting to examine each of kind of the space as a whole, you know, their floor plate, and trying to decide, you know, what rooms can be used, the enclosed spaces as Whitney used, how are those outfitted now? You know, do they need to advance their technology in those spaces? Also, you know, if you have an environment that's everybody's in an assigned space, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with Whitney that I think it's going to be a hybrid model as people go back to work. And, you know, there's going to be some work from home days and there's going to be some office days. So the amount of real estate needed for workstations is going to be less, but higher for collaborative spaces. So looking at each of those spaces and, you know, do we need to build walls around them? Do we need to just do kind of a sectioned off space with some really great architectural pieces, you know, from kind of a furniture standpoint? And, you know, making sure that, you know, the comfort level is there, the technology is there, the acoustics are there. So those are all kind of key pieces that we're looking at throughout different spaces, you know, as they're, you know, kind of really, I mean, tackling this, and it's ever changing. I think every day it's an evolution of like, what does this look like? You know, when are we going to bring people back and how are they going to function? So, you know, it's been very interesting, from a design perspective. I mean, it's actually been really exciting because I love this style of work. And I think it's, you know, what, you know, really, motivates people, you know, when they can connect with people, but then they can be focused at home with their task as well. So it's going to be the next, you know, year of design or more is going to be interesting to see how spaces start to develop.
Yeah, it really is. I love that you're saying it's exciting because there is something that, you know, we've been through every range of emotion throughout the last several months. But I do think that there is something about, okay, how can we take what we've been doing before and make it better and make it for the future? And like Whitney started talking in the beginning saying, you know, yeah, right now we were talking the virus, but it could be a natural disaster. It could be any kind of a disruption. How does that fluid work differ? I mean, how is that going to be something that maybe we continue to talk about, just that ability to be flexible, Whitney?
Yeah, I mean, we just are talking to our clients about like, okay, how can we think about designing for resiliency and building spaces that adapt on demand? One thing that, you know, again, to your point of a lot of these ideas aren't new. It's just taking what we've learned in the past and figuring out how that can help us for the future. So one idea is having more flexible furniture components. So in the past, we've talked about, okay, flexible furniture really empowers team-based learning. And I think in the future, those same aspects allow us to quickly morph furniture on demand. So for example, if something is on casters, you can quickly push it together and then break it apart to create more distancing. So we're looking with a lot of our clients around, like, how do we design a more flexible kit of parts? So using the same components of furniture, but recognizing that they can be put together in several different ways. So whatever the needs are, they can adapt to it.
Yeah. What do you guys think about some of the work from home packages right now and some of the companies that are maybe making investment in work from home offices? What are your thoughts on it, either of you?
Yeah, I can jump on this. Heidi can chime in. This is one that I am definitely passionate around. So one of the things that we're definitely seeing, and this is probably no surprise, is this increase in sedentary work. So what people may not realize is that, you know, designers like Heidi very intentionally designed movement into a plan. So we're thinking about, you know, allowing for different changes in postures throughout the day. What are ways that you can encourage people to get up and move? And we know that's so important for brain health. So I think a lot of times people don't realize that, you know, working from home in one position is actually really terrible for your body as well.
Yeah.
So I love that the clients that are engaging us early in this process to think about, okay, what does a comprehensive work from home package look like? You know, not just a task share, but really about, like, how do we build those opportunities for movement into the home office? So maybe that's a height adjustable desk, a monitor arm, but looking at it holistically is really important. And that's something that, you know, our team is very passionate around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just chime in. I know that for organizations that may have even a lengthier stay at home, that I know a lot of their safety individuals have been involved because they know the ergonomics. They understand how important it is to have the right setup, and that includes the monitor arms, the height adjustable desk, the correct task seating. So, you know, a lot of these people, when they first went from home, and I could speak to that, you're working from your dining room chair, you're working from yes. just kind of whatever would work. And, you know, within a week, you're going to notice just your what it does to your body. So I think it's crucial if you're at home that the organization support, you know, all of these kind of minor adjustments, you know, if it is that monitor arm or if it is that height adjustable or the task chair. And we've seen a lot of organizations step up and, you know, give stipends to employees to be able to have that, or, you know, even some of them have let them bring those items home from their office. So I think that is incredibly important. Just from the health, you know, health and safety point of your employees.
Yeah. Heidi, tell me about just kind of the logistics of what you're doing right now. If somebody calls you and says, okay, Heidi, we've been working with you, we need help big time. And you start to kind of look at their plan, look at their space. Walk me through the first steps of how you kind of get started in reworking their space so that they can start creating a safe environment.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first step obviously, is looking at their plan. And a lot of times we look at it together. I mean, obviously, in the very beginning, we couldn't really go into the spaces and have kind of a one-on-one meeting. And as time has evolved, we've had more of those, but it's really saying, okay, let's look how far, you know, where are you socially distant at? I mean, are we running into roadblocks? Do we need, you know, sometimes we're looking at removing furniture and moving it further apart if they have that real estate. Some people don't have the luxury of having that space to kind of reallocate their workstations, but those that don't, they're looking at it like, can we remove, you know, some of these workstations and spread them out a little bit more? Or do we look at it from the standpoint of every other seat? So we really start to talk about, you know, where they're at, again, in their journey. Do they want to bring a certain amount of employees back, and can they work with not, you know, tearing something down and you know, spacing it out. And a lot of people are kind of at that. We're seeing a phased approach. So it's understanding how they're thinking about bringing back their employees. And so it's kind of a lot of asking questions, understanding what their approach is and understanding how quickly they want to get their employees back. And really looking at the social distancing piece of the pie as well.
Yeah, what are kind of the emotions and feelings you're hearing from people as they're trying to make some of these plans? Are they overwhelmed? Are they ready to dive in? Have they, made the bend on the change curve where they're adapting and ready to move forward? What's kind of the vibe you're getting, Heidi?
I think it's really all over. I think some of them, they're ready to get back to the office. They're ready to get their employees back. Some of them are very kind of taking it very slow and just making sure, that they are taking safety, the safety of their employees, as the utmost. If they're in a large, 20-story building and they're sharing it with multiple companies, you've really got to think about the elevator too. So they're really just a lot of them are very, very cautious to bring them employees back. And a lot of them have created, what we're seeing too is a lot of surveys. Where are you at as an employee in this journey? Are you willing to come back? What does that look like? So there's a lot more surveys too that I've noticed companies are doing versus, usually do like a quarterly survey or whatever. And now they're kind of taking a monthly pulse check.
It's a huge part of what we're doing here, right? With the road to resilience is just that research piece and really coming up with a strategy. Whitney, what do you think? What are some of the emotional steps that maybe you have heard clients walking through? Are they ready to get back? Are they hesitant, cautious, overwhelmed? What do you think?
Yeah, I would say just like Heidi, it's, a wide spectrum. We have some clients that were, considered essential businesses, so they never stopped. So for them, it was a matter of like, how do we continue to move forward and do the best that we can? While other customers have, taken a step back, they're putting together, slow strategic plans to figure out when is the right timing to bring their employees back. But the one thing that I do think is just I've observed is that, with every challenge comes an opportunity. And when you look at the plans that are being put together, it really involves, a collaboration between not only facilities, but also IT and, human resources, because we have to consider, how does technology support this change? And then also thinking about, exactly what you said, how are people feeling? What are the ways that we can bring them along? And that's a great way for HR to be involved. So I think in the past, a lot of times we've struggled whenever we approach a new project, it doesn't have, all components of an organization involved. And with this and the type of plans that are being put together, it really does include multiple, stakeholders within an organization.
Yeah, I love this kind of goes along with that conversation that we've had about the choice and control. And there is something about a sense of control over their workplace that does give a sense of safety. How important is that when you're planning these spaces, Whitney, when you're looking at offering more choices and giving employees a little bit of that control back when everything feels kind of out of control right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've always, talked about choice and control. So giving people the opportunity to choose a setting within the workplace to be able to, work on whatever tasks they're doing. So giving them the freedom and empowering them to choose, like, if they need to go into a phone booth or an enclave and have that heads down time or ability to just recharge, they can. And I think what's going to shift in the future is yes, we're going to continue to think about all those things because some people may want to dial up their privacy or barriers from other people, but we're also going to be thinking about how can that choice and control relate to expanding their ecosystem of places. So like I said earlier, we're not only just thinking about the workplace, but now we're thinking about home as being, an additional ecosystem. So giving people the choice of like, depending on their day, does it make more sense for me to go into the office? Or should I stay from home? And I think that's something that a lot of organizations didn't offer prior to experiencing COVID. And I think it'll drive, giving their employees more freedom in the future.
Yeah, I think kind of to piggyback off of that, Whitney. That's what I'm most excited about. I know I mentioned that earlier, but these ecosystem spaces are something we've long talked about, but I don't know that they've initially been embraced, as quickly as I think they're going to be embraced kind of in the future. And I think that those are the kind of the more critical spaces that will really propel an organization to, go back to talking about attracting, employees and talent. I mean, that's a huge thing kind of in this COVID market. Like how are you onboarding, as you mentioned earlier? And how you know, bring people back safely using these spaces. So I think that's what gets me as a designer, like really excited about what these spaces are going to kind of go and kind of what the, you know, steps are that they're going to do to get to kind of what is going to be, I think, that next level of office.
Yeah. Well, what would you guys say to a client that's saying they're just going to return to the way it was? I mean, does that even exist? Or we're just going to return to the office of the past. We're fine. It's going to be just like how it always was. What would those conversations look like for you?
You know, that's an actually interesting question because I haven't had those questions. I think everybody is, you know, they may be adjusting their office, but they're, or not adjusting their office, but they're adjusting how people are working from home or how they are utilizing technology, or how they're bringing people back and how those spaces, you know, how they're thinking about bringing people back and kind of embracing this hybrid model. So
Yeah.
I haven't seen anybody that says you're just coming back and here it is, unless it's
Yeah.
the essential, you know, workers. And I think
Yeah.
that's just kind of how it is. But otherwise, it's been a very interesting kind of like almost, you know, social study on how people
Absolutely.
yeah, are really just kind of rethinking the way that their employees need to be supported and work.
Yeah, and I would just chime into that. I think that if, you know, if that got brought up, I think we're recognizing that most people are not going to be returning to the status quo of before, because it didn't allow, like I said, it didn't really allow for disruption like this. And so I think in a situation like that, we would encourage, you know, those clients to take a step back and really do a pulse check of their employees, understand like what are the learnings from this experience? Like what do people value about, you know, the ability to work from home and what do they miss most? And those are the things that are going to drive the workplaces of you know, tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean
Absolutely.
it's so much bigger. I mean, we're kind of talking about the step two of our roadmap where we're rerouting directions, but really it's so much bigger than that, and really rethinking the role of the workplace and how we bring all of this together. So I am just so this conversation, I feel like I could talk to you all day about this. And I know this won't be the last time we talk about it as we continue to plan for the future. So thank you, Heidi and Whitney, for taking some time to be here with us today.
Yeah,
Absolutely. Thank
absolutely. Thanks
you.
for having us.
So for all of our listeners, this is the More Than a Chair podcast. You can follow us on all of our social media platforms, and we'll see you next time. And follow us on all of our social media platforms.
Resilience, the ability to recover from difficult experiences and setbacks. At Business Furniture and Corio, we know the road to resilience takes all of us. Our teams are reconfiguring workspaces to create personal boundaries without compromising design. Our warehouses are open to store your furniture to keep your people safe.
Business Furniture and Corio are on the road to resilience with you. We will meet you where you are, and together we will get results.